Today on Real Radio.
That's how the Jews in that council heard it. And they knew in a moment when he said Jesus was standing up to judge them. How can that be? We killed him. They could say in their hearts, we killed him. What does he mean? He's judging us. We're the judges. Not politically correct, Stephen, because this verse is responsible for his death.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in a mini-series called The Witnessing Church. It's a look at passages in the book of Acts chapters 6 and 7. Chapter 7 contains the account of Stephen's discourse as he tells the history of Israel to the religious authorities. Now, in this warts-and-all account, Stephen reminds them of how Israel would reject the things of God time and again throughout her history. And this is why Stephen was martyred. Let's continue with this examination of the last 10 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 7. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Jesus stands up to receive his own. Yes, he's seated in heaven because the work that he's done to get you into heaven has been accomplished. He only stands to greet you in now. But I said there were two reasons. The other reason is it's Jewish protocol in the court of law for the person who's going to bring an accusation against somebody that you are to stand up and give that accusation. Example, I am standing up to accuse John of blank and so before the council. When Jesus stood up, he was receiving Stephen with his right hand and with his left hand, his vengeance was going to be vented. The Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die and then the judgment. But the Bible also says that you have a choice of how you are judged. Are you judged? Are you going to be judged in the love of Jesus Christ? It's free this morning. You can have that freely. Or are you going to reject his offer and stand before the judgment of God where every person outside of Christ must appear? Jesus stands to receive one and to condemn the other. Because we'll see in verses 57 to 58, the condemnation of the world that is in death. The condemnation. Before we jump into that, look at verse 56. He speaks what he sees in his mind. Look at verse 56. People, you got to circle this verse because this one is something. He says, look, behold, gawk. The word is gawk, jaw, hang open, wise, that's eyes and wide, eyes wide open. That's what the word look means. Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen, not the politically correct thing to say. Not in front of these guys. For in the Amplified Version, it would read more accurately like this. Remember, his council are all Jewish leaders and judges, and they don't want Jesus Christ. Listen to this. He says, look, behold, I see the heavens of God's dwelling place open to me, and I see the Son of Man, God's Messiah of mankind, standing as the witness at the right hand of God, where he has all authority. That's how the Jews in that council heard it. And they knew in a moment when he said Jesus was standing up to judge them. How can that be? We killed him. They could say in their hearts, we killed him. What does he mean? He's judging us. We're the judges. Not politically correct, Stephen, because this verse is responsible for his death. Verse 57 to 58, we see the condemnation of the world. Look at this. When they cried out with a loud voice. they stop their ears. That is, they plug their ears. They do that today even. It's really funny. If they're selling something and $5, $9, $5, and then they're arguing back and forth, and then the deal's made. If the guy's really angry, he puts his fingers in his ears, and they look, and they act crazy. They're really, like, violent, man, and expressive. I'm not like that, I know. But really, and so they put their hands on their ears, and they run. Look at this. It says that they ran at him with one accord, and that doesn't mean they all jumped in a car and wanted to run him over. It means, get it, accord, car? Anyway. It means that they ran at him with one thing in mind. One accord means they were all thinking the same thought, and that is, it's kill Stephen time. We are going to shut this guy up once and for all. They're going to shut him up. And so they run at him with one accord, verse 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Literally in the Greek, while they were casting him out of the city, they were throwing stones at him. That's against the law. That's illegal for them to do that. First of all, there's no trial. Rome had taken their power to kill without their intervention. Rome had to be involved on any of their capital offenses. And the custom was, you take the man to the edge of the cliff. Remember they tried to throw Jesus off the edge of the cliff? You know what they were going to do? The custom is, you take somebody to the edge of the cliff, you throw him off the cliff, and if he's alive, then you throw stones on him from above. And it had to be from above, because it was a symbol or a type of God judging you by throwing rocks on you. That's what they acted out. Well, they're stoning him while they're even going to the edge of the cliff. They can't handle it. They're freaking out. Why? The truth that they rejected condemned them. Listen to this. Everybody knows John 3:16 if you've seen a football game. What about John 3:17? John 3:18? John 3:19? Listen to this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. How about, let's change the words a little bit. I'm sure the Lord won't be upset at this. It says, for God sent not his Son to condemn you, but that you through him might be saved. That believing on him, you're not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because it goes on to say that we did not believe, or you did not believe, or they did not believe in the only begotten Son of God. And that men loved darkness more than light, because their deeds were evil and they were condemned. Did God give you the Bible, send his Son to send you to hell? No, the exact opposite. Then how do you get to hell? By taking the only key that fits the door and throwing it in the lake and saying, I'll do it myself. Shine it. I don't believe in it. My church ripped me off when I was younger. My Sunday school teacher was a bum. Who cares? Your Sunday school teacher didn't die on the cross for you. Neither did your church. Jesus rose from the dead for you. That's why it had to be God that died for us. It couldn't be a man alone. It had to be God who became a man, sinless and perfect. You can right now this morning say, this is nuts, man. And you can have all your opinions and all of your arguments. Go ahead. Try your best. Write them down this week, all of your arguments about why you can't be a Christian. This is the reason why I will not be a Christian. And I want to ask you something. What on earth do those excuses have to do with Jesus? What excuse do you have that would justify you rejecting such love? What do you have against him? Your opinions fail. Your reasons vanish when you look at him. There's no excuse. But you see, these guys not only killed Jesus, they're going to kill Stephen because they made them uncomfortable, because they were not willing to bow their knee to him. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 7, Jesus standing there around all those religious uppity-ups, with their robes and everything, and they said, "We caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Moses said that she should be killed. What do you say?" Jesus, stooping down in the dust, begins to write. And I know, I mean, we know what he wrote. It had to be. In fact, Psalms talks about how he writes their sins in the dirt, in the earth. I bet you Jesus said, "Let me see." He looked up at the one guy. That's Ezekiel, or that's a, you know, whatever his name is. Ezekiel, May 3rd, 8:45 p.m. Ezekiel and Bubbles behind the... He wrote it down. And he looks at the other guy. Yeah, whatever your name is. August 17th. Right, you had your, you know, your hand in the till over there by the liquor store. I saw you. And he, the sins, and it says that as he wrote, they walked away from him, from the oldest to the youngest. Oldest left first because the oldest had more sins, had more time to sin. And as they walked away, remember Jesus had said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." Then he looked at that prostitute or that girl taken into adultery, whatever, and he said, "Where's your accusers?" She goes, "Gosh, they've all kind of like left." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I want to ask you, who in their right mind would have something against that? All of us are prostitutes in our hearts. Jesus said every man has looked after somebody and desired them in the heart. Oh, well, I didn't do it. You don't have to do it. Jesus said if you look at somebody in your heart and think about being with them, you're guilty. Now, how do you respond to that? "Oh, man, that's why I don't read the Bible." No, no, you should say, "Ouch, that hurts. Okay, what do I do about my sin? I don't like this feeling." Give it to him quick. Give it to him. Give it to him quick. But don't carry it around. You don't have to do that. You can be set free. But if you hang on, there's nothing but condemnation. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation." There's no hell coming to those who are in Christ. Isn't that great news? And let's go to the final point, and that's the third point, that at death, the Christian is liberated. At death, the Christian is liberated, verses 59 to 60. "And they stoned him as he was calling on God." Circle that in your Bible. "As he called upon God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" Wait a minute. Jesus hung on the cross and said, "Father, into your hands I commend," or "I send my spirit." Now Stephen says, praying to God, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Thus, Jesus, again out of this scripture, is none other than God. You can pray to Jesus Christ, even. Stephen does it. "Jesus, receive my spirit." Verse 60, "Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.'" That's amazing. How do you do that? It's wrong of me. It's sin in me. And it's something that I just have not been able to get over. But when I see somebody that's little getting picked on, I don't care if the guy's 9 feet tall and he's picking on somebody that's 3 feet tall or 8 feet tall for that matter. I can't handle that. I can't stand a bully. I hate that. And somebody coming up, or like some, you know, a couple of guys pounding somebody that's defenseless. I can't handle that. I'm telling you, man, you got to pray for me because my Christianity almost goes out the window because I want to like be rumble and blow them up, you know. I can't handle that. I want to come to their aid. And what blows my mind is Stephen, that's the difference. Under the power, he's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He said these things that provoked them. Stephen was guilty of putting gasoline on a fire. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put gasoline on fire? Nobody's that stupid. Except me. I did that. Kind of. We were in Mount Shasta camping, and I ran out of charcoal fuel. So, being the brilliant guy that I am, got Coleman fuel and put it on the logs before I was going to light this thing. Well, it's the fumes that are explosive. So, like, there's fumes going up, you know. Oh, this is going to be a good fire. I can tell right now. I'm about 10 feet away, and I got the matches, and I went. And it just went, boom. I mean, just boom. Flash. Oh, gosh. I'm blind. I couldn't see anything. We had an, when everything settled down, there was this incredible fire going right there. And you could hear the campsites go, whoa. I turned around and walked back towards the tent. My hair singed on my... When Stephen said those things, there was a whoom! And they went off. And they came against him to kill him. And he says, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, you hang around with Jesus long enough, and you have a tendency to become just like him. You hang around people, you become just like them, and you're not exempt. Spend more time with Jesus, you're more like him. Spend more time like the world, you'll be just like them. Guaranteed. It's the way we're made. You see a little boy, I mean, like sinner, like savior, like son, like father. Little boy cracks me up. You see the man come by, and he's got his overalls on, he's got a handkerchief in his back pocket and a hat on, and here comes the little guy. He's 5 years old. Overalls on, hat on, and handkerchief in the back pocket. He just kind of cracks up, you know? And that little guy, he wants to dress just like his dad. If we're Christians this morning, we want to dress just like Jesus. No, not with tank tops or three-piece suits, but with love and with grace and forgiveness. Listen, do you have the power to forgive someone? Are you still weak? The Holy Spirit alone will give you the power to forgive. Listen, jot these down. I found this very interesting. These guys, this religious hierarchy, they had sinned against the Father when they had killed John the Baptist. They sinned against the Father when they killed John the Baptist. John the Baptist said that he was sent by the Father to bear witness of the light. They sinned against God's Son when they killed the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They killed him. That's one murder. That's two murders. The third, they now are going to sin against the Holy Spirit when they kill Stephen. You can sin against the Father, and the Bible says it will be forgiven you. You can sin against the Son, the Bible says, and it can be forgiven you. But when you sin against the Holy Spirit, Jesus says it will not be forgiven you in this world or in the world to come. It is the unforgivable sin, Jesus said, to sin against the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, how do I sin against the Holy Spirit, or have I done it? You can sin against the Holy Spirit by dying and not accepting Jesus Christ. That is the sin that is unforgivable in this world and in the world to come, that you have resisted the Holy Spirit who points to Jesus. Every time you and I were doing something wrong, the Holy Spirit was saying, this is wrong. Don't do that. You need to get out of this. You need Jesus. And then along the way, the Holy Spirit has been telling you, Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus died for you. God created you, the heavens and the earth. It's all yours. God loves you. Now come to Him. And the Bible says, we read it in our Proverbs 29 this morning, he who is often reproved and hardens his heart shall be taken away, and that without remedy. You may be hearing the gospel this morning like never before, or maybe you've heard it better than this, and the bottom line is it could be your last day. He who often hardens his heart shall be removed or taken away or destroyed, and that without remedy. Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against me. That takes us back to verse 51. Let's go back there and we'll wrap this up. Verse 51. Loosen up your neck now. Roll your shoulders around. Roll your head around. Loosen up and listen. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers do, so do ye. Why don't you loosen up today? Why don't you just put your bogus little argument aside and give up? And follow Jesus Christ. Your neck has been stiff. You hear the Bible. You hear somebody say you're a Christian. You see the little fish or a dove on someone's car and you tense up. I hate those doves on those cars. What's that fish on there for? Oh, look, they're carrying a Bible. And the bozo prays over his lunch at work. Can't stand it. Look, relax. Relax. Loosen up. And accept Christ. You're so tight. Calm down. And let him love you. You ever seen that cartoon when Pepe Le Pew's trying to put the squeeze in that little kitten? She's pushing and pushing him away. We're so much like that. Listen, bottom line, you have the choice right now to make it right. You don't have to join this church, but you do need to be born again. Jesus said, for without which you will not see the kingdom of God. You were born once into this world. Now you need to be born spiritually. And you don't even know what that's like because you've never been born spiritually. So why don't you step out and receive him and see what it's like to have your sins forgiven and your heart cleansed and made right. To know that if you die, you're going to go to heaven. Man, that's great. I was pumped for 3 days studying this message. And it was all about death and dying. Death in the Christian coronation. Death in the condemnation of the world. Death in the Christians liberated is the third point. Liberated. Stephen died and he went to heaven. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. To the thief on the cross, that's not bad, huh, today? No soul sleep. It says in verse 60 that it says when he said these things, he fell asleep. That's in reference to his body, not his spirit. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's good news. To be absent from this body without him is to be removed from his very presence forever. I know it's not popular, and yes, it's not politically correct in church because people won't come back to mention hell. Well, there is a heaven and a hell, and Jesus spent a lot of time telling us about it because it's real. There is light and there is darkness. Jude chapter 1, verse 13 says, those who reject Christ, it says that they have reserved seats in hell. Those going there are like wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Witnessing Church, a look at the last 10 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 7. It's the account of Stephen, who would end up being martyred for telling the truth about Israel's rebellious history. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in this fascinating journey through the book of Acts, so be sure and join us. If you've been benefiting from and enjoying Real Radio, and you'd like to support this daily program, we're offering you a way to do so, which will also be of great benefit to your prayer life. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called When a Christian Prays when you make a tax-deductible contribution of any amount. When a Christian Prays has already helped quite a number of Christians in understanding the proper biblical view of prayer. In fact, you can read more about When a Christian Prays when you visit us at realradioactive.org. It's right there on the front page under the banner Special Offer. So again, this 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's teaching, When a Christian Prays, is yours for a gift of any amount, all of which will go to the support of Real Radio. So again, you can visit us at realradioactive.org or get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.